So I wanted to touch base on a topic that we have discussed periodically. I haven't heard it in a while, and I thought it would be valuable to touch base on it. The topic that I'd like to, when we get a chance, if we could pull up the presentation, topic that I'd like to touch base on is the Sabbath. So we can go to the next slide. When we think about the Sabbath, depending on our perspective and our backgrounds and our history, we have various perspectives of the Sabbath. How do we keep it? What does it mean? For some, it can be considered optional or flexible. I get to choose the time, I get to choose the length, I get to decide how I'm going to keep the Sabbath. That generally is not as prevalent in the churches of God, even though some still do. Some do. Some view it as a day of restrictions, with a heavy focus on what I can do and what I can't do. Often coming down to, why do they do that? You can't do that. Clearly, there are things we should and shouldn't do on the Sabbath. But do we view the Sabbath from a perspective of what's a list of do's and don'ts? Is that really the purpose of the Sabbath? Some may view the Sabbath simply as a day for services. So the focal point of the Sabbath is getting together so we can hear messages and we can fellowship and share in the fellowship that we have with our Father, with each other. Clearly, we should gather together. We should enjoy the fellowship. We should share that. But is that the purpose of the Sabbath? Some may view it simply as a time of rest. I had a hard day, hard week. Slide into the Sabbath. Now I'm going to catch up on my sleep. Time of physical rest. Clearly, we cease our work that we do during the rest of the week, and we do rest on the Sabbath, physically as well as spiritually, but is that really the purpose? Some view it as a day of connection with God, a time that He's set apart that we can engage with Him and enhance that connection. What do we think about the Sabbath? What is God's purpose for the Sabbath? Why did He create it? What I'd like to do this afternoon is focus in on the why of the Sabbath. I'm going to break these. I'm going to do a series of three messages. This message is going to be focused predominantly in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And I'd like to spend time this afternoon kind of constructing a view. So to think about the Sabbath from God's perspective, why He created it. Then the next message, we'll look and see if that construct, that thought process, the themes, we'll see how that extends into the New Testament. The final message will be around how does that then inform the way we think about the Sabbath. But as we progress here this morning, I'd like to go back, or this afternoon, I'd like to go back to the beginning. If we can go to the next slide, please. And as we go back to the beginning, as we start in Genesis, we'll go back to Genesis 1. There are three themes that I'd like for us to think about, kind of keep in the back of our mind as we progress today discussing the topic of the Sabbath. The first theme is divine order. When we think about God, do we really think about Him as the God of life? That's the way He describes Himself frequently in Scripture. And He is the one that defines the order, that maintains and produces life. So if we think about everything that He has done, the creation, creating you and I, His plan, it is focused on creating, maintaining, sustaining, producing life. Second major theme, alignment. And aligning to his way of life produces, aligning to his order produces life. Now we talk about this in various ways. We can talk about his order as the way. In the New Testament, we see it as the way. Sometimes we refer to it as his law. But there is his order, and then there is everything else. And everything else does not produce life. Everything else produces death. His order, his way of life, produces life. The third main theme that I want us to keep in the mind as we progress this afternoon is that of a relationship. God invites human beings into a relationship. He invites them into his presence to be refreshed or restored. Now, being called and being given his Holy Spirit, we are constantly in his presence. But what we find with the Sabbath, that time period is unique on all of his Sabbaths. It's a unique time period where he enters in with his presence in a unique way he doesn't do on the rest of the days. And it's for a time of refreshing, of filling up, of restoration. So as we progress then, I want you to keep those themes in the back of your mind, because what we're going to find is those themes are going to reverberate throughout the message today and the scriptures we're going to look at. So if we can go to the next slide. So going back to the beginning in Genesis. In Genesis, as we think about Genesis, what we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, specifically in Genesis chapter 1, we see this also reflected in chapter 2, but specifically in chapter 1, what we see is God preparing the creation to maintain and support life. So think about what we're told in Genesis. In the beginning, there was chaos. Then out of that chaos, he creates order, separates the water from the dry land. He separates the day from the night. He sets the stars in their course. He establishes the flora, the fauna, and he creates mankind. Then we get to verse 29. What do we read in verse 29? And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food." Think about that statement. He has structured the creation in such a way that it will produce food for human beings, which sustains life. So there is an order that he is creating. Verse 30, and every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. Again, the creation is ordered in such a way that it produces and sustains life. That is his order. Then coming to verse 31, we see God says, and God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So what we see God doing in chapter 1 of Genesis is establishing order, his order that produces life. And at the end of the sixth day, he looks at the creation, everything that he's created, and he says that it was good. It was appropriate for the purpose in which it was made. And that purpose was to establish and maintain life. So we see God's order on display here in Genesis chapter 1. If we can go to the next slide. Then in verse 20 of Genesis 2, we see the completion of his creation. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done." It's an interesting statement. This has been referenced in some of the church's literature and in other messages. God didn't rest because he was exhausted. God doesn't become exhausted. And the term rest, Shabbat, doesn't mean that you rest because, or you cease your work because you're exhausted. It means you just cease the activity. It's not about exhaustion. It's about stopping. And God stops and does something else. And in verse 3, we see what he did. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. So now we see 7 days of creation, the creation order. God brings it to a completion. And the final part of his divine creative order, his order that he put in place to produce life, ends on the Sabbath day. And on that day, he blesses it, he separates it, and he makes it holy. He makes it appropriate for his presence in a unique way that we don't find in the other days. And he does something else. He creates time and space so he can focus with his family, so he can focus on his family, so that he can engage with them. We're going to see this come out a little bit more as we progress with the message, but it's a time where God separates, makes it holy. He inhabits in a unique way that he doesn't do. No other day is called holy, only the Sabbath day, and he engages with those with whom he has a relationship. So we see all of this, we see his order laid out in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it's all focused on establishing, maintaining, and producing life. If we can go to the next slide. If we go a little bit further in Genesis chapter 2, Moses, as he's writing, takes a step back and kind of reframes Genesis chapter 1, and then it goes into the explanation about the Garden of Eden. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, a couple of interesting statements are made that help begin to identify a little bit more about the purpose for the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Two interesting thoughts here that we'll dig into a little bit more as we progress. The first is this: is the emphasis on the concept of breathing and the breath of life. The second is the idea here of living creature. That's translated from the Hebrew nefesh. It means life, soul, creature, person, appetite, can refer to mind. We see it translated. It has a fairly expansive meaning in the Hebrew. It can be translated a lot of different ways. What it really is trying to get to, though, the idea behind the term is that it generally refers to the life force, the vitality, or the essence of a living being. It means we're alive. It means we're alive. So what I'd like to do now, we've got a view, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see God's creative order. We see that he has set the order to produce life. We see that he has created mankind. We see on that the Sabbath was a time that he blessed and made holy, and a time that he will engage in a unique way that he doesn't do and on the rest of the days. It's only the Sabbath that he does this, and a time so he can focus with his creation. If we can go to the next slide, I'd like to shift our focus to Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, we have a statement about the Sabbath. We have this statement, and God is talking now to Israel, and I think what's really important is to consider for a second the context that we find Exodus 31 mentioned in. If we go back to chapter 24 of Exodus, we have a few things happening. In Exodus chapter 24, we have the confirmation of the covenant. So the people commit to God. The covenant is sealed. Now they are his covenant people. There is a relationship. And then if we look through chapters 25 through mid-21, what we find is we find God giving instruction for the building of the tabernacle, the collection of materials, the building of the furnishings. He gives a recipe for the holy incense and for the anointing oil. If we think about what God is doing, God is creating the foundation on which the Israelites will begin to approach him. Another way of saying that, he is beginning to create the order for which his people will approach him. We get to Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. We have the offerings, and in the offerings, they outline, Leviticus chapter 1, it says, when a man approaches me, and it goes through the burnt offering. They were to approach God in a certain way with the burnt offering to come before his house and have time with him. And we see the foundation of that order and how the Israelites will engage in that relationship with him. So again, we see this idea of order beginning to be laid out. What's really interesting, at the first part of Exodus 31, God makes it clear who is establishing the order and how it's to be developed, because he says that he will give his spirit to Bezalel and to Holiab, and his spirit then will work through them to build the tabernacle, the furnishings, the draperies. So it's his spirit, it's his order, it's his process. He is the one that is laying this out. Then we get to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 16. And this is what we read. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. You know, it's interesting. The Sabbath, there are some who read this and believe that the Sabbath was only given to Israel, to the children of Israel. The Sabbath preexisted the Israelites. What we find in Scripture is that when God has a relationship with people, he gives them the Sabbath as a point of connection to maintain, to establish and enhance that relationship. And we see a little bit more as we go on, because It's specific because here Moses continues and he writes, and it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. In Galatians, who is the Israel of God? It is those who he would call. But even if we go back to the Old Testament, who were the Israelites? Yes, they were the seed of Abraham, but they were not limited to the seed of Abraham. If you committed to God and you went through a process and you were faithful, you were a part of Israel. Rahab was an Israelite. She became a part of the community. Ruth became a part of the community. They were God's. When the children of Israel in Exodus 12 left Egypt, they went out with a mixed multitude. God gives the Sabbath to those who are in a relationship and who are committed to him for a very specific purpose: to establish, maintain, and help produce life. And in verse 17, it says, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, to those who all have a relationship. And it is a sign forever. It's not limited. This is forever. That in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Observing the Sabbath, when you're in a relationship with God, is a distinguishing physical marker of his order, of how he is establishing and producing life. And what is fascinating here, as Moses is writing this, inspired by God, he takes the reader, you and I, all the way back to Genesis 1. From the very foundation of creation, God established the order of life. And that included a time where his people would engage with him on the Sabbath day. If we can go to the next slide. Two other interesting points as we consider here. Excuse the typo, I've put Leviticus. This is not Leviticus. This is Exodus 31:16. There are two terms, one we've already mentioned, that will help enlighten and help identify a little bit more about the idea and the purpose behind the Sabbath. So we've talked about the term Shabbat, which is translated from the Hebrew ceased or rested, that emphasizes the cessation of work. It's not about God being tired, it's about him stopping. And then this idea, or this term, refreshed, which comes from the Hebrew nefash. That term, and remember we identified back in Genesis 2 verses 7, breath and the breath of life. There's this idea, this concept of breathing. Nefash means to take a breath. Now in Genesis, it's a different word, but what I want us to think about here are the themes that's being communicated for the people to think about. So nefash means to take a breath or to be refreshed. The emphasis is on the renewal of energy and vitality. What's really interesting, though, about the verb nefash is that it is derived from the Hebrew nefesh. So remember, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and when God created nefesh, this word refreshed is a derivative of that. So think about the imagery. Think about the play on words that's being created here. Because where are we refreshed? Where is nefesh? When is man refreshed. We are refreshed on the Sabbath day. We are refreshed as we align to His divine order. We've been invited into the Sabbath day. We engage with Him on the Sabbath. We align to His order, to His laws, to His way of life. And when we engage with Him on the Sabbath, the purpose is to be refreshed, to be filled up. Because the idea here with the idea of refreshed is filling something up, replenishing. If we can go to the next slide. So we think about what we're seeing in Genesis 2 and verse 7, and we're seeing in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 17. Think about the order. Think about the order of creation. Because in Exodus 31, Moses specifically points back to the order of creation. On the sixth day, Nefesh, man was created. On the seventh day, man is refreshed with life. It's a stopping point for us to engage with our Father, to understand who and what He is, to take time out of our life, and to engage with Him during this time to be filled up, to be refreshed, which helps to ensure the continuing alignment with His order. Let's take a step back and just think about that for just a second. If we can go to the next slide. As we think about this, I want to return to the three themes that we started with, and I want to leave you with two questions. When we think about the Sabbath and how we keep it, what we do, what we don't do, what we use this time for, we see three themes throughout Scripture. One is that there is a clear divine order. God is a God of life. He orders His way of life in such a way that it maintains and produces life. The Sabbath is a critical part of that, because it is a Sabbath where we have spiritual renewal. We have spiritual refreshment. 6 days a week, we will do physical work. During 6 days, God worked with the physical creation. On the seventh day, on the Sabbath, that changed. But it's still a process that produces life. The second major theme, aligning to His order, produces life. We see that throughout the Bible. We see that in the blessings and cursings in Genesis, not in Genesis, but in Deuteronomy. What does God say? If you obey Me, if you align to My way of life, you will have life and you will have it abundantly. If you align to another order, if you align to something else and live your life that way, the ultimate result is going to be death. Third major theme, relationship. When God has a relationship with a human being, He calls them into this connection, and the Sabbath is used as a time where we enter in that time with Him to be restored. Now think about it this way. The Sabbath, God specifically said in Exodus 31 that the Sabbath was a covenant. The Sabbath was an agreement. Do we think about the fact that when God has called us into a relationship with Him, that he enters this time with us, this agreement, this relationship on the Sabbath to connect with us. He keeps the Sabbath with us, with the purpose of maintaining, with refreshing our life, our spiritual life. So two things to think about. Some of this, these topics we'll address in some of the next messages, but two things to think about. Is there continuity to these themes in the New Testament? I would leave you with Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, where Christ tells the disciple, the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath was made for man. Think about that statement from this context. Also, Hebrews chapter 4. The other thing that I would encourage us to think about, when we think about observing the Sabbath from this perspective, does it impact the way that we think about it? Is the Sabbath really about do's and don'ts? Look, there are clearly things we don't do on the Sabbath because our attention and focus is somewhere else. Because we're engaging with God. He is engaging with us in this time in a unique way. But does it change the way we think about observing the Sabbath? Hopefully, we'll be able to spend a little bit of time thinking about these things, especially as we come up to the spring holy days. Because this is true not just of the weekly Sabbath, this is also true for his holy days.